Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's be seated as soon as possible. Got just a few moments. Please be seated. Let's go. Thank you, and be seated. Here we go. Let's continue our series today. I love serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's been a wonderful joy in my life since I was called and surrendered to serve the Lord when I was 13. Of course, did not do so in a full-time capacity until 10 years later when I was 23 years old. I had finished Hiles Anderson College and got asked to work in a Christian school, taught school for 11 years before the Lord let me serve the Lord as a pastor. And for the last 20 years, I have been able to do that almost. It will be 20 years this coming June. Thankful for the privilege, but I did not know that one day I'd have the chance to stand in front of you and speak to you about it. I really like this time because I feel like I may not understood everything I needed to understand when I was younger. And I'm sure it was taught me, but sometimes I was too busy paying my school bill, working my job, doing my ministry, trying to fight sleep in chapel and church ed and other things of that nature and working it like you're doing. But I want to encourage you to think about this, and you won't necessarily remember all the messages in chapel, but I've taken this little series and talking to you about giving worth to the ministry. Look at verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to ask a young man to stand and read that for us. Who's got that and would not mind reading that? Okay, Garrett.
I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation.
It was the Apostle Paul. He's in jail again. And he says, I'm not only just a prisoner of my local community in the Roman Empire, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Long before he was ever arrested for preaching the gospel, he had been arrested by the Lord. And his heart was yielded to him. And when you're a prisoner, you don't pick your meals. You don't pick your schedule. You don't pick where you're going to go. One thing about prisoners, I've been to many jails to visit people. And when I go there, one thing they don't know is when they're getting out. They don't know what's going to happen in court. They don't know what's going to happen, how long it's going to take them. Lots of things are very unsettling. And that's the case in a jail or a prison. But somewhat it's the case when you serve the Lord. You can always expect more than you can expect. You don't exactly know all that God has for you. But it's wonderful to be arrested by Him. But he said, as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Giving worth to the work that God has called you to do. The worth of being a Christian, the worth of being a servant of the Lord, the worth of being in the bus ministry, the worth of being a pastor, assistant pastor, a missionary, whatever it is that God has called you to do. Some of the most blessed, you've been blessed by a lot of people around you. You know why that they have blessed you? Because they give worth to their ministry. They're not casual. I hate to use illustration. I could do that many places over. But Brother Collins, what God's called him to do, he gives worth to it. I don't care if it's setting up a microphone and helping with the marriage retreat. He'll do it the best. If it's an activity, he'll do it the best. He'll stay up late nights writing out the play and deciding what songs to put in that. He's been working on that for months. If it's tour, he's going to do it the best. Miss Lacey and Brother Justin Zarsky work in the ministry. And one of the things I love about them, whatever God's called them to do, they do it with their might. They give worth to the ministry. Brother King eats, drinks, and sleeps what's best for the college. Overseeing different things that maybe you don't even see, infrastructure things and day-to-day situations, a miserable thing trying to work out some discipline matters and things of that nature. It eats you up on the inside. By the way, behave yourself and that won't happen. You know, if you judge yourself, you're not going to be judged. You say, well, I'm always getting in trouble. There's a reason for that. Because wherever you go, you take you. And if you don't judge yourself, if you don't monitor yourself, you force other people to do it. And then it gets ugly. You can choose what you do, but you can't choose what happens when you do it. Then you put someone else in the judge point because you haven't judged yourself. Boy, always make sure that you monitor. Ask yourself, should I do this? Should I not do this? Is this questionable? Is it better if I didn't do it? When people suggest you do something, you know that the Spirit of God confirms that's not what I should do. Don't do it. Judge yourself so you're not judged by somebody else. But learning to give worth to the ministry. The precious people that live in our ministry, I think of Miss Amber Bushy, who works with our girls. She does it with passion. You know that. You may appreciate her decision or not appreciate, but you know that her heart is with you. Brother Dave Stubblefield, what he does, he gives worth to the ministry, not just a few days, but for decades, doing the right thing. And in whatever realm that God puts you in response of, whatever your vocation is with the Lord, you want to give worth to it. Three things we talked about, the way that we give worth to it. Number one, we have to be committed to unity. Can't be a troublemaker. Can't be someone that's always bringing dissent. Someone who endeavors to keep peace and unity and the bond of peace. That's what you say, Pastor, what can I do to give worth to my responsibilities, to my ministry, to this thing? Work for peace. Work for unity. You got to have peace to make progress. Mike back there with the True Green, if he manages people, he'll understand real quickly that if he's got catty men always going around and fighting about this, fighting about that, and the environment at the office is not good, he's not going to be as productive as if he has a team all on the same page. And that's the true in business. That's the true in the ministry. If I'm going to give worth, I must be committed to unity. Number two, I must realize the complement of diversity. I must understand that everyone doesn't have to be like me. I need everyone in my life, and God's put them there. I need to appreciate their strengths, deal with their weaknesses, knowing that I have weaknesses as well, and I have strengths, and we can blend together. I have to say, you know what, I can't have everyone. Well, why do they do that? I would never do that. It's not about what you would do. You probably need them. And you have to complement the diversity. I got a text yesterday from one of our staff members, and it was very candid, but he said, you know what, Pastor, pray with me. I'm struggling in my spirit. He said, some of my colleagues right now, there seems like they're not on the same page with what we're trying to get accomplished. Well, you know what? I prayed with him. I actually didn't pray with him. I texted him. I said, I'm praying right now that God will help you. Know that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. So anytime there's accusations, there's problems, that doesn't come. It comes from us, but sometimes we war in our own members. We're tore up, and so we bring tore up stuff everywhere we go. Sometimes that comes from Satan trying to tear some things up too. And we have to, what is it that covers a multitude of sins? Love. You have to love God and others more and really look beyond that and see that situation. And love endureth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. These are things that God does to help us with that. So we need to complement diversity. And then we need to be concerned for maturity. If I'm going to give worth to the ministry, I need to be concerned for maturity. And the Bible tells us, look at verse 11, if we can, please. We'll read down here for a few moments, make a few comments in our time we'll be up today. Look at verse 11. The Bible says that Jesus gave some apostles. He's referencing the Lord there. The Lord gave some apostles, and he saved some prophets. Those are the two folks in the early church that were foundational, Jesus being the first, the cornerstone, the foundation, then the apostles and the prophets. And then he gave some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's a key word there, verse 12. What does it say? The first thing, for what of the saints? Perfecting, the maturity of the saints. If you're a mature Christian right now, or you are maturing large in parts because God gave you a teacher, an evangelist, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a school teacher to help you get in that way. One of the things I love about being a part of Howells Anderson College is to watch young people that come here when they're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old and watch the maturation process 4 years later. Watch them as seniors come to senior chapel and say, here are some things I learned. And you watch what happened. You know what they say? I thank God for Rob Osgood. I thank God for Miss Amber Bushy. I thank God for Dr. Penns. I thank God for Dr. Cowley. I appreciate what this person did. You know what they do? They're thanking God because those people were instruments to mature them, to the perfecting of the saints. Why? So they could leave and do the work of the ministry. And so that you would edify the body of Christ. In recent days, I've had the opportunity to have several churches call me, and they're deacons, and they have a church. One particular one said, you know, Pastor, we've got $20,000 in the bank. We've got a building that's paid for, but we have 12 people. We don't have a pastor. I thought to myself, oh, would to God a pastor were there. somebody would do that. I had another man tell me, he said, Pastor, I pastored for 3 decades this church. Unfortunately, I've got a family member that's sick and I'm going to have to leave the church. But I need to find somebody to take the church that will love the people. There's 60 people here. There's a parsonage there. But they've got to be find someone who's conservative, someone who will practice biblical holiness and reach people. He said, Pastor, last few years, I probably, our church was stronger 6 years ago, 5 years ago than it is now. Because I'm getting older and I don't have the energy. But if we get someone in here, I think they'll, you know, he'll need to have a precious wife because our girls need spiritual leadership. They need a model. Pastor, pray with me about that. Talked to a pastor this last week up in Michigan. He said, you know what? We've been looking for a young couple to be in charge of our youth ministry. We have a whole city full of teenagers. We haven't had a youth pastor for some time. We have a good man in our church. It's just holding down the fort. But we need someone to come, and we can pay them, and they can do this, and we feel like God wants to do it. And I thought, my goodness, there's such a need. I talked to a man yesterday who said, we need a school teacher. Our school teacher is leaving and going off into the mission field. We need another school teacher. It's a beautiful class, an opportunity to really do something for the Lord. There's plenty of opportunities in our ministry. We have housing available, but we need to find someone. Tomorrow, Brother Rena Likens will come and say, listen, anybody can help us this summer at Indian Creek Camp, helping work in the camp ministry, and that's going to be an opportunity. But I will tell you that the work is there. Somebody's waiting for you to mature. Waiting for you to do the work of the ministry so that you can edify others. Listen, if you're not building other people, you're wasting your breath. Don't just sit and watch the world go by. Be discipling someone. Be winning someone to Christ. Think what you're doing to edify and encourage people. That's why God gave us. We need to be concerned for maturity. I must hasten real quick. Let's go to the next verse, if you would please. Verse number 13. Till we all come. And the way that we can mature is doctrinally. Look at verse number 13. Read it with me. Everyone, read it out loud, would you please? Till we all come. And the knowledge of the Son of God. So how can I know that I'm exercising maturity? When I act and I think like who? Christ. Till you all come to one day, we're in a process. Some folks will go to heaven and it'll be shock treatment. They're so far away from what they should be. I would love to leave this world somewhat on the same page with God. I would like to be able to leave here closer to Jesus than farther away from Him. I feel bad for somebody who knew the gospel, accepted the gospel, got eternal life, and lived their life for themselves as an unsaved or worldly person. Go to heaven and just the disappointment that I live so selfishly, that I live so for myself and for the world, that I was nothing like Jesus in this world. Remember years ago I talked to a man and he told me this. He said, I was saved. I was driving with my friend and my friend said, man, I wish I knew somebody who could tell me how to get to heaven from here. I wish I knew someone who understood the who knew how to help me, give me the truth about religion. And the guy was driving. He said, I know. He said, you do? You're a Christian? He knew him for months, but the way he lived, it was not even obvious there. It would be terrible if you had a guy you work with, a girl you work with, and he said, you know? Because our life was a lie? We ought to be developing that Christ-like spirit. That's what maturity is when I look and I sound and I talk and I respond like Jesus would respond. And I've come to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. That means just like Jesus is, this is the way John Wilkerson is. And that's not that way. I want it to be that way. But he said, it's a growth process. You're growing into the stature or the fullness of Christ. You're being like Him. That's the first thing. Then let's look at verse number 14. Can we look at that, please? Read it out loud with me. All the men, read it, please. Would you, please? That we henceforth be no more. He said, I want to make sure that you are mature, not only in your conduct and how you act like Jesus, but in your doctrinal stance, that you're not easily swayed by every wind of doctrine. And there is that. There are people that, it doesn't matter if you dress like this. It doesn't matter if you have this. It doesn't matter if you do that. That music doesn't matter. You know how Wilkerson is. You know how the Hiles Anderson. It's all about Hiles Anderson. It's not about Hiles Anderson. It's not about Pastor Wilkerson. It's not about First Baptist. It's not about fundamentalism. It's about the Bible. It's about the truth of the Scriptures. If I can't explain to you from the Bible, you can chuck it. But I think most of these things, whatever they may be, you can take the low road if you want to, but I think you'll be glad one day you took the high road of holiness. And doctrinal purity is one of those. Verse 15, let's read this together. Let me have the ladies read it. Would you please, girls, read it with me? Verse number 15. The Bible says, so we see maturity is shown in how I respond like Jesus. Maturity is shown in how I stay true to biblical doctrines and I'm not easily swayed by a blog or a preacher on the internet or this person or that person or the dissenter that gets me off of just true. But don't get bored with the basics. Can you say it with me? Don't get bored with the basics. God can help you with that. Just decide, you know what, I can live in this framework of biblical truth, and I'm not going to start looking and out and trying to find other things on the other side of the fence outside of just knowing God's will. But number three, I will speak the truth how? In love. That it may grow up into us even in the person of Jesus. Look, if you would please, let's read it one more time. Everyone, verse 15, everyone together. But speaking... All right, here's what I think this means in part. What's the first concept? But doing what? Okay, maturity will come as I'm like Jesus, as I'm settled in my doctrinal purity, and now I begin to convey it. I speak it. But how do I speak it? How do I speak the truths of doctrinal purity? With love. If you find someone who only has truth without love, you'll gravitate to legalism. Someone who is just all about the truth. Hey, it's all about the truth, but then they're chopping everybody else's head off. They don't care who's listening. They don't care who they hurt. Hey, it's the truth, brother. I don't care. And you're a cripple from the neck up, you know, and oh, whatever, all that stuff. Sometimes we can do that as pastors. I've probably been guilty of that. Be careful about that because truth without love is legalism. But sometimes people come over here, they leave the truth, and they just say, it doesn't really matter about doctrine. It's just as long as we love one another. Then you get love without truth, what do you get? You get liberalism. You get, instead of legalism, you get liberal and become, everything goes loosey-goosey. No, it doesn't matter what doctrine. We just lay aside doctrine. Let's just stand together and sing Kumbaya. That's problems. But God made truth and love to go together. When you speak the truth, I don't care if it's on a night bus or it's in someone in your dorm room, I don't care where it is. If you got something true to say, something ought to come through it, and that's called love. It ought to come through the conduit of love. By the way, pride will cause you to be a hypocrite, pharisaical, know-it-all. But when maturity says, I want to be full of the stature of Christ, I want to be doctrinally pure, I want to know what I believe and why I believe it, and then I get a chance to convey it, I want to convey it, the truth with love. It's something we need to do, and it shows our maturity. When you find someone who doesn't stand for anything, he'll fall for everything. They don't know the truth, they don't practice the truth, they just want to say, well, I just don't want to have any conflict. That's not good. You'll get very loosey-goosey over here. But if you also have someone over here that's pharisaical and they bang away at everything and every tweet, everything on Facebook is bad, this person's dumb, this person believe that. And if these are things you're thinking, you may have the truth without love and you need to grow up and blend those two things. I think our college, God has used our college through the years, but sometimes I think it's been a little bit too crazy over here on the truth. And there's not been love. We treat people like we do preaching a hard sermon. When we need to learn to say, the truth is still there and I must practice and proclaim the truth. But I must do it with love. And that's an important part of Christian growth. Let's pray together. Father, thank you very much for the chance to speak to our student body today. I sure love them. Bless, I pray, all that is going on. I pray you please encourage us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank